is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, a look at the O&C lands, forestry issues, and related topics. Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Now, you've been very involved with the topic during your time as commissioner and even before that as a legislator as well. When we look at O&C lands, a number of lawsuits are in play and have been filed over time. What can you tell us about where those stand at the moment?
Well, real quick, just let me kind of recap what O&C lands are. They're a very unique designated set of lands that Congress designated for the purpose of timber production. They're different than other types of federal lands. Most federal lands have a multiple use designation, whereas O&C lands are dominant use. O&C lands only occur in 18 counties, and those counties are all in Oregon. And of all the 18 counties, Douglas County has the most. They are a checkerboard land, and every other section, roughly, so every other square mile, is the neighbors to the O&C land is industrial timberland. So it's a really unique set of land. It has very unique laws and governing acts. The 1937 O&C Act, we talk about a lot, and we're going to talk about that today as we talk about the lawsuits. So Commissioner Doug Robertson was the president of the Association of O&C Counties for about 25 years. Prior to me becoming a county commissioner, there was a couple commissioners from other counties in between his work and mine. I started almost 5 years ago. I'm in my fifth year of being the president. In the time that I've been president, we've moved to doing more litigation. So previously, counties had tried to negotiate, tried to develop resource management plans that would work and have outcomes that would create a balance in managing these lands. In 2016, the Bureau of Land Management completed about a 4.5-5 year process of developing a resource management plan. That resource management plan was signed in 2016. The very day the record of decision was signed, the Association of O&C Counties filed a lawsuit against it. And we filed a lawsuit really on two main things. First, the 2016 resource management plan only called for harvesting 2.6 million acres a year of sustained yield. It had some one-time acreage to bring the total up to 278, but that was only one time. The O&C Act calls for a minimum of 500 million board feet a year. Remember, these lands grow 1.2 billion, with a B, board feet a year. The other issue we filed on that we didn't think that the resource management plan met the O&C Act requirement was that the new plan, the 2016 resource management plan, puts 80% of the land in some type of a reserve. The O&C Act's very clear. It says these lands shall be managed, and it goes on to talk about sustained yield and for forest production, but it doesn't say a part of the lands will be managed. It says the lands shall be managed. So we believe there is no legal way that the BLM could put 80% of the land in reserves. On both of those issues, we filed this case in Washington, D.C., from a Judge Leon, a federal court. We won about a year and a half ago. So it took a very long time from 2016 until just a year and a half ago for us to win that case. Everybody's heard the terms, the wheel of justice turn very slowly. In this case, they're turning very slowly. At the very same time we filed a lawsuit way back in 2016, the industry from this area, the timber industry, also filed a lawsuit. Slightly different than our lawsuit, they sued for the sustained yield amount because the O&C Act says the minimum shall be $500 million until they establish what sustained yield is. And the sustained yield has been established at 1.2 billion board feet. The industry also won. So So at the same time we won our case, the industry won their case. So those cases were combined, and we have been now working on a remedy for the last year and a half. So part of that remedy certainly will be a new resource management plan that requires a significantly different amount of harvest and will require the BLM to manage the entire land base under a sustained yield management program instead of having reserves. And remember, the 1937 ONC Act was the first conservation act ever passed by Congress. It literally says in it, you cannot harvest more timber in any given year than the land will grow. So that's what we sued on. We won on that. We're still waiting on a remedy. That's one of the four.
Yeah, and there's more other lawsuits to talk about. What can you tell us about those?
So at the end of President Obama's time in office, he expanded the Cascade Siskiyou Monument that took another chunk of ONC land and took it out of sustained yield management. They put it into a reserve, a monument reserve. And we also filed on that saying that you can't redesignate congressionally designated lands under the Monument Act. And we won that also at the same time we won the 16 RMP case about a year and a half ago. That case and the remedy for that has been put in a stay situation until the first lawsuit can be figured out. But the good news is the judge in both of these cases is the same judge. And in both cases, he ruled that these lands are different than other federal lands and that they need to be managed under the ONC Act, which is really important to the management of these lands.
So as we go through this situation, it seems like it takes up a lot of time, both from you and from other folks that you're working with. Are you feeling like you're heading in a good direction? And to go with that, what happens when you have a change of administrations and change and things shift again?
So that's a great question. So there was an offer early on in the Trump administration to throw out the 2016 resource management plan and start over. And the 2016 resource management plan came after the Western Oregon plan revision, which was a plan that the Bush administration had put together. So we've already played that game of each administration changes direction. So that's why our organization, the Association of ONC Counties, decided to go ahead and take this to court. And we literally asked the Trump administration not to throw out this resource management plan because we want a federal judge ruling and giving clear direction that the agency needs to follow the congressional intent and manage these lands for sustained yield. So it is definitely slower. We could have had it thrown out, but we would still be working on a new resource management plan, and we'd be working on that with the current administration, which would likely not be real favorable to the use of the lands as Congress has designated them.
And when you have these administrations change, especially when you see a philosophical shift, do you feel like you make progress? It's like taking a couple steps forward and then maybe taking a couple steps the other direction.
So a good example of that, yes, a good example of that is the third lawsuit I was going to talk about, and that is the Trump administration, at the request of the Association of ONC Counties and other groups, took a look at the critical habitat rule for the northern spotted owl. So there's this critical habitat overlay that U.S. Fish and Wildlife put on these lands that is not aligned with the resource management plan. So when I told you 80% of the ONC was in a reserve capacity, of the 20% that was left to manage, about 40% of that has this critical habitat designation, which really precludes any kind of logging or management on that part of it. So we worked very closely with the Trump administration that was favorable to work with on this issue. And they went through about a three-year rulemaking process and eventually issued a rule that removed that extra layer of critical habitat designation. Now, it didn't change the 80% that was locked up as part of the resource management plan for habitat, but it was duplicative to have the fish and wildlife overlay, so they removed that. And the current administration simply didn't implement it. And we don't believe they have legal authority not to implement the rule. They certainly have the authority to go back and spend the time. It's about a 3-year process to overturn the rule or to change the rule. But we didn't see any legal justification for simply not implementing it. So we have filed a lawsuit joining. This was a critical habitat designation that affected ONC lands and lands in California and in Washington. So counties from all three states, along with the industry, filed a lawsuit together just on the implementation of the rule, not the merits of the rule, just the fact that we don't believe an administration can ignore the implementation of a rule. So that lawsuit continues, and we're working that through the court system, and that is in the same federal court in D.C., the first two lawsuits. And then finally, an environmental group here in Oregon, group of environmental groups in Oregon, filed a lawsuit here in Oregon in federal court about the rule, the merits of the rule itself. And, of course, the Association of ONC Counties, along with others, joined that lawsuit to defend the rulemaking that we believe that it was done correctly. So those are really the four lawsuits, and all that gets pretty technical, but needless to say, it does take a lot of time. In each of those lawsuits, I have to file declarations on behalf of Douglas County and do work on behalf of the Association of ONC Counties. We've got a really great staff that helps us with this. ONC Counties actually has an attorney on retainer, and we've contracted some of this other work out with a bigger legal firm. But it is very, very time-consuming.
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More on the ONC lands when we come back. County Commissioner Tim Freeman with us. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson ahead at 1 o'clock. Congressman Peter DeFazio joins us for tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tim Freeman here. We're talking about the ONC lands. Just went over the four lawsuits that are in play involved with the topic. And I wanted to ask Commissioner Freeman as well about a host a fire tour with the BLM state director and his staff.
So thank you for asking that. Everybody knows about a year ago we had this massive fire, the Archer Creek fire here in Douglas County, and fires all over the state of Oregon, burning a tremendous amount of ONC land. Here at the Archer Creek fire, they burn about 40,000 acres of ONC land. So we were scheduled to have our ONC board meeting, and I was able to invite the state director, which is a director that takes care of Oregon and Washington BLM, to come down, and he brought his staff along with the ONC board members from the counties. And we did a tour up on the fire, on the Archer Creek fire, and we literally went up on the top of Mount Scott. And the top of Mount Scott is privately owned, and so the land immediately around that is private timber. Which all that timber has been removed, all the burnt and dead timber has been removed, and then they're process of replanting it. And as you drive through the checkerboard, you see the public land that still has all the dead timber standing on it. And, of course, you know, we're very interested in that timber to be harvested and new timber to be planted. We want a new green forest growing and not just those dead snags over time. So having the state director come down, he's only been the state director for just about a year, but the challenge, of course, is during that year, this COVID thing's been going on, so he really hasn't been able to get out very much. So we were at a time in COVID when the case counts were very low, and he was able to come down here, and we had a successful tour. And I think the visual of standing on top of Mount Scott, seeing to the east almost 30 miles of burnt forest, and then you could see all the way from the north to south to the edges, and that was almost 30 miles north to south. You can really kind of put into perspective the mass area that's covered when these huge fires happen. The other thing that's very striking when you're up that high is you can very much see the nature of the checkerboard of these lands. And what you see is the private industry guys immediately go in, they take that dead wood off the landscape before it rots, before it becomes, you know, future fire problems, before all the pollutants are released from the logs, and they replant and create a new forest really quickly. And whereas on the public side, they don't really do that at all. Because of these resource management plans and other things that we're litigating, specifically in the 16 resource management plan, it says there'll be no salvage on any of the reserve land. So 80% of the land, they can't even look at doing salvage. So they, having the director there and letting his staff see in real time and in, not on a map, you know, not in a report, but actually stand there on the ground and look to see the devastation that occurs in these huge mega fires and the opportunity to reset the landscape. You know, we have an incredibly great history here in Oregon of taking care of land. You know, after the Tillamook burn, there was a tremendous replanting effort. You know, they harvested that dead timber off that land and replanted new timber, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful forest. We have, after the Oxbow fire, a tremendous amount of wood was taken off the ONC, and new trees were planted, and those trees now are beautiful and grown. After the Columbus Day storm, there was a tremendous amount of dead wood removed. Now what goes on is all that dead wood remains, and it literally becomes the fuel for the next fire. As we've got fires all throughout Douglas County right now, I've been attending the cooperator meetings. In each briefing, we hear from the firefighters on the ground, well, we can't really go direct on the fire there because of all the snags. And those, of course, are the trees that are left from the previous fire are dangerous to firefighters, so they can't go in there and harvest it. And we've seen several examples this year of tremendous fire activity and old fire scars. Probably the worst of all of them is the 2002 Apple Fire up the North Umpqua River. When the fire got into there, it just took off. And again, the firefighters can't go in there and fight it because it's too dangerous. All that dead wood was left there to rot, and now it's too dangerous to fight fire around it. So having the state director here and the staff to be able to show them that, and again, right in person, and not in a video, not in a photograph, but actually on the ground, was time very well spent and very well received. I will tell you, the folks that work at the BLM, they don't want to manage a dead forest. They want to manage a live forest. And, you know, they're bound by these resource management plans, and they want to have the tools and the ability to clean that up and plant new forests. So we are, you know, working hard to help them with that. Just as a quick example of the problem with that is after this Archer Creek fire, again, 40,000 acres burnt, they're scoping or they're looking at salvaging or harvesting 2,700 acres. So 40,000 burnt, they're going to get 2,700 acres they're going to look at the possibility of doing some kind of harvest. They've yet to offer any of those sales, and depending on how they offer them, they may not have any value and they may not sell. So that's just under 7% that they're even going to offer or look at offering for sale of the total. So most of the public wood, the wood on the ONC, will not be harvested. It'll be left there to rot, and we will not have the luxury of having that wood removed and new trees planted, so we'd have a beautiful forest, you know, in another 10 or 15 years. So pretty tragic, but again, having the state director come, you know, with his team to actually look at the ground was time well spent.
Are you optimistic at all that there will eventually be a shift at the federal level to more closely follow what the private landowners are doing when it comes to getting the wood dealt with after these fires?
Well, there sure should be on the ONC. Again, it's not a multiple use. It's a dominant use. And not only are we losing the value of that wood and losing the opportunity to replant it and generate the revenue to pay to replant it, we're also losing future harvest, right? So if it's sustained yield, you know, anytime you take, you know, there was over 100,000 acres of ONC burnt this year, you're going to take all that out of production, it no longer is available for sustained yield into the future. So I think it is important to talk about it. And it's very important to talk about pre-fire management, during the fire management, and post-fire management as a circle, and that whatever you do before the fire, during the fire, and after the fire sets you up to be in better shape and these lands to be healthier. So anyway, thank you for having me today.
All right, a lot more on the topic in the future. County Commissioner Tim Freeman with us on today's Inside Douglas County, 1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.